Welcome to Alex Asks, a podcast series determined to bring to light the inequities within the music industry and discuss ways we can do better. Each episode, we'll take a look at an artist that experienced injustice within the industry, what happened, why it happened, how it reacted, how it all went down. I'm Alex, your host. Thank you so much for being here. First, I gotta check in. Who listened to some Janet since the last episode? You better have. She's too good. She deserves our streams now and always. Today, Alex asks, what happened with Rihanna? The queen, Rihanna, the Robin Fenty. Ugh, I love Rihanna. Since day one, like everyone, I feel like Rihanna has just been so iconic, so nonchalant. She's just the coolest person on the planet. She's powerful. She's amazing. Anyways, today, Rihanna is undeniably a huge, multi-talented artist and businesswoman. Not only does she own her own clothing line and makeup line, she has won 9 Grammys and been on Time's 100 Most Influential list 2 times. She has been unstoppable since her debut album, Music of the Sun, churning out albums on a yearly basis for multiple years before taking a break in 2012 and not releasing an album till 2016. Kind of trash, but it's fine. Take your time. In the meantime, however, she was building her resume chock full of awards, world tours, guest features, and like I said, her own companies. She has, of course, developed a huge fan base over the years, known as Rihanna Navy. I consider myself a part of it, and her fans go very, very hard for her. Rihanna is considered inspirational by so many, including me, for her give no f*** attitude and her unbothered persona. That's why it's crazy to think that in 2009, she was near bankruptcy. Yup, you heard that right. Let's get one thing straight right away. It was not because of a spending problem. According to Rihanna's case against her management team, she had lost millions of dollars due to gross mismanagement. Basically, her tour during 2009 was not making a profit, and her management team failed to tell her this, leaving her financially vulnerable after recently purchasing a new home she unknowingly could not afford. The management team denied the claims, stating that it was Rihanna's own financial mismanagement that caused her current problem and that they were not responsible. Interesting, because I thought that the management team was supposed to help manage. Okay. This all came at an especially turbulent and traumatic time in Rihanna's life. And I want to say, trigger warning, I'm going to discuss topics related to domestic abuse and violence. In 2009, amidst receiving ill advice from her accountant causing her to lose millions of dollars and quickly, Rihanna was the victim of domestic abuse at the hands of her then-boyfriend, Chris Brown. I remember, I think at the time I would have been like 10 years old, I was devastated for Rihanna. I think the whole world was. After hearing about the violence against Rihanna, fans quickly rallied behind her, which largely involved totally canceling Chris Brown, who at one point was a rising star within R&B and hip-hop. Rihanna was being frauded by her management team, being lied to by her accountant, and was made the victim of horrible violence all in one year. But it wasn't all horrible. Rihanna continued to make music and released another smash album, Rated R, later in 2009. She continued to release music annually, collecting records, Grammy nominations, and fighting the mismanaged past of her finances after finally winning the lawsuit against her former managers. She received a $10 million settlement after winning the suit and has since built the massive Rihanna empire we know and love today. The problems that lie within Rihanna's turbulent 2009 and the public perception surrounding her is that, while her fans were at her side, many in the mainstream media and general public ridiculed her despite her being a victim. She faced immense outside pressure to end her relationship with Chris Brown, which she eventually did, and the two have not been romantically linked for years. But when Rihanna in 2012 released a remix collaboration of her song Birthday Cake with Chris Brown and appeared on a new Chris Brown track as well, many people, including her fans, were disappointed in her and not afraid to show it. Anyone who has kept up with Rihanna's career knows she's Anyone who has kept up with Rihanna's career knows she will do her own thing and be unapologetic about it. Her 2012 album is literally called Unapologetic. The collaborations brought with them enormous backlash and a strange focus on Rihanna, not Chris Brown. According to a 2012 CNN article, public perception toward Rihanna shifted highly negative, with people even going so far as to say that by collaborating with her past abuser, Rihanna must quote-unquote enjoy being abused. People literally said that. Because of the status she had gained as a role model within the music industry, people were swift to call out Rihanna when they felt she deviated from this role model behavior. But as the CNN article states, when did Rihanna ever ask to be a role model? And more importantly, who but Rihanna truly has the capacity to dictate what she does or does not do, who she collaborates with or does not, or whether she wants to be a role model or not? While the backlash against Birthday Cake was harsh, the worst part of it all was that it mostly fell on Rihanna. Why is that? According to National Domestic Violence Hotline statistics, 30% of women experience some form of domestic violence. Rihanna was unfortunately made victim to this. In addition, further studies have shown that it takes, on average, years for a victim of abuse to leave their abuser. While Rihanna cannot and should not be reduced to a statistic, these facts align with how and why Rihanna processed her abuse the way she did. And honestly, processing that in the middle of the public eye with everyone watching her is something that she should be proud of. Yet very few people felt that way. Other than legal trouble, some jail time, and legal fees, Chris Brown was met with disproportionately less controversy and less backlash than Rihanna had been in 2012. People who were looking for a reason to forgive and condone Chris Brown's actions saw their collaboration as a valid reason, and Chris Brown faced little to no accountability in the public eye. At the height of this issue was the increased visibility due to more mainstream use of social media, which used the collaboration and the context surrounding it as a joke. Memes were created to make light of the violence Rihanna underwent at the hands of Chris Brown, and they are somehow still made today. Just this past year, Snapchat came under fire for featuring an in-app quiz that asked if you would rather punch Chris Brown or slap Rihanna. The quiz was eventually removed and a statement of apology was issued, but the underlying mentality remains. Despite domestic violence knowing no gender boundaries and affecting millions of people, men, women, non-binary folks, women face the backlash of the abuse inflicted upon them more so than the men themselves. We see this today in news media, when a case of a sexual assault allegation against a woman is reported and becomes public knowledge. The comments usually go one of two ways: solidarity and justice for the abused, or victim blaming and victim shaming. Autonomy is completely removed from the conversation, and people somehow develop the mentality that the victim of the abuse asked for it. This goes back to the 2012 comments against Rihanna that stated she, quote-unquote, must enjoy being abused. The very real issue is that when victims of abuse, especially when they are women, come forward with their stories or process their pain and trauma or do anything after the fact, they are ridiculed, shamed, and denied. Women are somehow blamed for their abuser's actions. This stems from a deeply held patriarchal system within our society that questions the validity of women at every turn. Men are given grace and room to be men, the whole boys will be boys mentality, and women are questioned and picked apart shamelessly. Despite Rihanna's enormous celebrity status, her powerful music persona and talent, and her obvious work ethic, the conversation for years could not shift away from her past with Chris Brown and how people who don't know anything about her feels about her and how she was supposed to handle it. Today, Rihanna remains unbothered, no surprise. While Rihanna's choice to collaborate with Chris Brown again was met with some criticism, she has not collaborated with him since, and many would argue she has been better for it. She took a hiatus from putting out an album after 2012, instead releasing one-off singles and quietly building her brands. In 2016, Rihanna was able to put out her acclaimed album and my personal favorite, Anti, the first album released outside of Def Jam Records and the first to allow Rihanna to flex full artistic and narrative control. After Anti took the world by storm, Rihanna debuted Fenty Beauty and Fenty Savage lingerie brand. She has since built up an empire worth $600 million. In February of this year, she received the NAACP President's Award for her achievements. Now, Rihanna is raising anticipation for her next album by doing absolutely nothing. There have been no announcements, no marketing, and no leaks or spoilers. Rihanna is fully in control of her own course, despite whatever bullshit patriarchy stands in her way or tried to in her past. Her story of resilience and perseverance in the public eye is inspiring to millions of listeners, including me, and she has been cited as an influence by many popular artists today. Rihanna has a long-standing legacy that can't be messed with, and as the strong woman she is, she will just continue to grow as an artist and continue conquering the world. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Alex Asks. I love, 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 love Rihanna, and have been waiting to talk about her amazing career for so long. My favorite songs of hers are Love on the Brain, Close to You, What's My Name, and Higher. Yeah. I really love Hands High. Thanks for being here. Tune in next time for another episode of Alex Asks. Spread love.
And if there's anything that I've learned, is that we can only fix this world together. We can't do it divided. I cannot emphasize that enough. We can't let the desensitivity seep in. That if it's your problem, then it's not mine. Right. Right. It's a woman's problem. It's a black people problem. It's a poor people problem. I mean, how many of us in this room have colleagues and partners and friends from other races, sexes, religions? Show of hands. Well, then, you know, they want to break bread with you, right? They like you? Well, then, this is their problem, too. So when we're marching and protesting and posting about the Michael Brown Juniors and the Tatiana Jeffersons of the world, tell your friends to pull up.